الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. قال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله؟ قال: سنة أبيكم إبراهيم عليه السلام، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we are aware, we have entered into the latter part of the 12th month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Zulhijjah. This is generally a period which is synonymous with the return of the Hujjaj, of the Baytullah. They are those selected ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated and honored, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah, that the Haji and the one who has been for Umrah is the delegation, the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are advised in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the returning Haji to request their dua of maghfirat, because this is the great bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only blessed the Haji with. But if you look at the riwayat, when it refers to the standing on the plains of Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَمَّا وُقُوفُكَ عَشِيَةَ عَرَفَةَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَهْبِطُ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَيُبَاهِي بِكُمْ مَلَائِكَةَ عِبَادِهَا أُولَى جَاؤُنِي شُعْثًا مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ يَرْجُونَ جَنَّتِي وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابِي فَلَوْ كَانَتْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ كَعَدَدِ الرَّمَلِ أَوْ كَقَطْرِ الْمَطَرِ أَوْ كَزَبَدِ الْبَحْرِ لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكُمْ أَفِيضُ مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ وَلِمَنْ شَفَعْتُمْ لَهُ. That when the Hajis gather on the plains of Arafah, Allah Ta'ala descends, a descension in keeping with His greatness, to the first heavens. Looking at the gathering, Allah says to His angels, look at my slaves, they have come to me from deep and distant ravines of the earth, their hair is disheveled, their body is full of dust. And then Allah Ta'ala addresses the gathering of Arafah, that if your sins be as many as the grains of sand on the earth, or as many as the rain droplets that have fallen from the heavens, or as many as the foam of the waves of the oceans, لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكُمْ, I have forgiven all your sins. Return now in such a condition, not only are you forgiven, but the one on whose behalf you will ask for forgiveness, he also is forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj, O Allah, forgive the haji. And then he did not leave it only to the haji, because like we've mentioned many times, my respected brothers, it is not practical, it's not possible, it's not even conceivable that everyone every year will go for hajj. But this is an amal which, wherever you are in the globe, there are certain pertinent lessons, certain pertinent haqaiq, realities, that it is essential that not only the haji, but every Muslim has to revisit. Allahumma ghfir lil hajj, wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, forgive the haji, and forgive the one for whom the haji asked for maghfirat. So this is why we advise, like the poet says, Ala qul li zuwari dar al habib, hani'an lakum bil jinan al khuludi, أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَيْضًا فَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ وَأَنْتُمْ مُرُودُ. That listen, say to the one that has visited Darul Habib, the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ka'batullah, Mubarak to you, haniyan lakum, Mubarak to you, for what? Bil jinani al-khuludi, Allah has given you Jannat forever and ever. Obviously that is if the Hajj was accepted by Allah, and we have that hope and that tamanna. And then the poet goes on to say, give me some water also. You have drunk to your cup, to your full from the cup of Allah's love, Allah's marifat. Give some water to me also. So a link an association is created. And if you look at this entire period, whether it's the Haji in Arafah or in Mina, or wherever we are, the amal of the day of Mina, for example, is the amal of Qurbani. Not only for the Haji, but for every Muslim throughout the world. Unfortunately, and I've said this many, many times, my respected brothers, when it comes to aspects of ibadat, there is that section of the ummah that is not implementing Allah's command in their lives. That unfortunately is the largest percentage. Then there is that percentage that is implementing Allah's commands. But we are like robots going through the motions. It has become ritual. What the reality of these amal are, what does Quran and Hadith require us, what is the sabak and lesson we are supposed to take, what is the haqiqat and reality of these amal, unfortunately this totally escapes us. Glaring example of this, last week Friday was the day of Eid al-Adha, last week Wednesday was the day of Eid al-Adha. The blood of the Qurbani animal was spilt. The verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, what does Allah say? Allah Ta'ala draws our attention to the fact that know and understand, we are not asking you to take a knife and put it over the neck of an animal because this in some way benefits Allah. There is a lesson behind this. لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Allah says the flesh and blood of that animal doesn't reach Allah. There is no meaning in that as such. What is the reality of this amal? Walaki yanaluhu taqwa minkum. It is the taqwa in your heart, the jazba, the zeal by which you carried out this amal. The understanding, why is Allah commanding me? Why is Allah commanding me to pass the knife over the neck of this animal? The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam this question. قال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's mentioned in the riwayat that the Sahaba addressed Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله. O Nabi of Allah, what is the significance of this Qurbani? Why is Allah commanding us to carry out this amal? What is the significance? الله أكبر جوامع الكلم, one of the معجزات and miracles of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Was in explaining things, my Nabi did not have to go into a long, long, lengthy explanation. Two, three words and the sum reality. The crux, the essence of this entire amal. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam opens it up for the ummah. Ma hadhihi al-adahi ya Rasulullah, why is Allah commanding us? What is desired? What is matloob? What is the response? Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim alayhi salam. That when you take this knife and pass it over the neck of that animal, we want you to turn the clock of your mind, turn the clock of your heart back, more than 4,000 years back. Each year, the Haji, the non-Haji, every Muslim, each year is reminded, turn the clock back. Where did this amal emanate from? What is the significance? What is the background? What are the lessons to be learned? Turn the clock back. Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim alayhi salam. That there was one Nabi of Allah, not an ordinary Nabi. A Nabi from whose progeny 4,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam came. A Nabi whose elevated status was such that Allah referred to him as Khalilullah. A Nabi who Quran says, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita. Allah did not use this word ummat for anyone else besides Ibrahim alayhi salam. A Nabi who we find in hadith, Allah elevated to the status of khullat, that he was Khalilullah, the special friend of Allah. This Nabi alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, is making dua to Allah. How long is he making dua? 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, no. 60 years, what dua? Rabbi habli min as-salihin, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, give me a pious son, oh Allah, give me a pious son. I'm digressing. How often we hear? Maulana, mere andar kuch kami hai. There's something wrong with me. Allah is not accepting my du'as. We become frustrated. We become impatient. I made du'a for so long, Allah is not accepting my du'as. Understand, my respected brothers, every du'a that you make is accepted by Allah. The door to Allah's listening is open. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every du'a is accepted until you do not become hasty. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean to become hasty? He said, for you to say this, that I am making du'a and Allah is not accepting my du'a. Then the door to acceptance closes. Who are you and I, soiled in sins from head to night? This is Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, making the same du'a for 60 years. He does not become frustrated. He does not become tired. Allah is not listening to me. Sabak and lesson for us. We are supposed to take from the lives of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. That beg from Allah, ask from Allah, and don't become despondent. 60 years he makes dua. Finally, Allah's shan is ajeeb. Allah accepts the dua, but in a unique fashion. Allah gives him Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salam, but from the young wife Hajar. And then the command of Allah Ta'ala comes that child, which is a result of dua of 60 years, take that child, take that wife and make hijrat. Leave Philistine. What is the destination? At that time he also doesn't know. A guide is sent, Jibreel is sent. Imagine the small kafla is undertaking this journey from Philistine. Where are they heading for? A place which Quran describes. Wadin ghayri dhi zara. Makkah Mukarrama. But not Makkah Mukarrama of today. Makkah Mukarrama of more than 4,000 years ago. Wadin ghayri dhi zara. Allahu Akbar. You cannot translate this expression of Quran. A land without vegetation. No source of livelihood, no water, no inhabitants, black arid mountains in every direction, Jabal Abi Qubais, Jabal Safa, Jabal Marwa, Jabal Umar, whatever name it had at that time. Black arid mountains, desolate. They reach this point, and Allah Ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam, that child of yours, that newborn child, for whom you made dua for more than 60 years, and your young wife, there were other wives. Sarah was there also. Sarah was elderly. That is why later on, when the Malaika came with the news that Allah is going to give you Ishaq alayhi salam, Sarah is also going to be blessed with a son. What was her reaction? فَسَكَّتْ وَجْهَهَا وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. Quran tells us, Sarah struck her face in astonishment. And she said, Ajuzun Aqeem, I am an elderly woman and I am barren. Sarah was elderly. What did the Malaika tell her? Atajabina min amrillah, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. Are you surprised? What is the astonishment? Allah is going to do. You are not going to do. She was elderly. Then there was another wife, Umme Madian, also elderly. When Allah Ta'ala wants to test, look at Allah's shan, ajeeb. Allah Ta'ala takes the qurbani from the young wife, Hajar, the mother of this ummah. 20 or 22 years of age. Princess of Egypt. Look at the qurbani she is giving. Normally we look at the qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wallah, at this juncture the qurbani of Hajar is greater. Ibrahim alayhi salam had another two wives to go back to. He had his birthplace to go back to. Hajar had to give up her birthplace. She had to give up not an ordinary husband, a husband of the caliber of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine what a qurbani and sacrifice this young, at that age, she's almost a child, this young woman has to give. Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves them and he's going. No explanations were given. Hajar is confused. She starts sobbing and crying, catches hold of the kurta of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What are you doing? Every direction, mountains, no people, no inhabitants, no source of livelihood, no water also. Ibrahim, have I done some wrong? Forgive me. Why are you abandoning me? Right up till Quday, 3 or 4 kilometers outside Makkah, she's entreating and begging him. And then the thought comes. Then the realization dawns. This is a Nabi of Allah. He is not going to oppress me or do something of injustice. So the thought dawns upon her, there must be a significance behind this. So she asks the question, Allahu amaraka bihada? Allahu amaraka bihada? Ibrahim, has Allah commanded you with this? Is this the mansha? Is this the qada? Is this the decision? Is this the amar of my Allah? This much permission was given. He nods in affirmation. What is the reaction of this mountain of Iman? What is the reaction of this mother of the Ummah from whose progeny came Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this Allah's command for you to abandon a young woman and a newborn child in a place without livelihood or inhabitants or no source of comfort? Desolate place, is this Allah's command? Outwardly, this is a death sentence. When Ibrahim alayhi salam nods in affirmation, what is her reaction? Idhan layudayyan Allah. Ibrahim, if this is the command of my Allah, there can only be barakat in it. Allah will never abandon us. Why are we asked to revisit this? So that when that document, that fancy document is presented to you, and you got enough to meet the down payment, and the monthly rental income will cover the installments, and you are told by that bank manager that, listen, this is win-win for you, don't worry, can't go wrong, sign on the dotted line. At that time you have to ask yourself the question, who am I making dushmani with? Is this the command of my Allah? And if it is not Allah's command, if it is not Allah's command, how can there be khair and barakat in it? How can it be a win-win situation? Revisit this every day when the muazzin calls out the azan. Your business is in front of you. The attractions of dunya are in front of you. On the other hand, Allahu amaraka bihada, as Allah commanded you. Which direction are you going? Which direction are you going? Through this amal, we are reminded of the sabak and lesson that know and understand, when you sign on that dotted line, you are not signing a document. You are declaring war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There can never be khair and barakat. Allah will destroy you, Allah will destroy your progeny. You'll wonder what happened. It was a win-win. Where is the barakat? Where is the chain? Then you run into this doctor and that doctor. You are pareshan. Your children are gone in a different direction. And we are wondering, going to this molisab, that molisab for taweez. Where is the root? Who are you making dushmani with? Understand, obey Allah. Obey Allah. Layyudhayya an Allah. There will only be barakat. There will only be khair. Nevertheless, that Ibrahim, when he is being flung in the fire, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, no lengthy dua. But this qurbani, to give up, they say, like ulama say, burhape ke aulad dil ko pakar lete. Get a child at old age, there is a special connection. To give up this child, to give up this young wife, he goes till they are no longer visible, then he raises his hands. Pick up a translation, pick up a commentary, we can translate this dua that he made. But wallah, my respected brothers, the dard, the pain, the cry of the heart of this Nabi contained in this dua, you will not find in any translation. This is why it is the lament of the ulama. Never mind, you feel you've passed the sell-by date, the brain cells are dead. So you can't learn, but why deprive your children of the knowledge of Quran? Why deprive them of these jewels which Allah has given? You are worried about matric degrees. You are worried about getting this career and that career. No problem. Give them whatever career you want. But don't deprive them of the knowledge of Quran. He raises his hands. Rabbana, inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zara'in inda baytika al-muharram. Oh my Allah. Tere kehne par, it was your order. It was your order that I should leave my zurriyat, my entire progeny. Leave this newborn child. Biwadin ghayri dhi zar, in this land without vegetation. In the Baytikal Muharram, near your Baytikal Muharram, near Kaabatullah. That time there was no Kaabatullah. Kaabatullah had been destroyed. What is the logical requirement here? Ya Allah, I'm leaving my family in this desolate place. There is no water, there is no food, there is no vegetation, there is no inhabitants. What should he have asked for at this juncture? Ya Allah, feed them, protect them, shelter them. What does he ask? Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Ya Allah, establish salah and establish your command and your deed in my progeny. More important than food and drink, this Nabi is making dua. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Then, faj'al afidatam minan nas tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum minath thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. Ya Allah, turn the hearts of the whole humanity to this place. Fill the love of this place in the whole humanity. Let the thamarat and barakat of the whole world come to this place. Such a dua Ibrahim alayhi salam makes at this qurbani and sacrifice that he gives. Nevertheless, he returns. Time is limited. I'm not going to go into the details. But sometimes one wonders, as nightfall descended, where did Hajar go with the newborn baby? There was no house, there was no shelter, there was no protection against the elements whatsoever. And the next day, when the curtain of the night dropped, and the sun rose, and the ground became tepid and hot, boiling hot, where did she place that child? After a while, her hands would have started paining. Could she have placed the child on the boiling sand, on a boiling rock? What must have went through the heart of the mother of this ummah, as gradually her lifeblood, her means sapped away, till she reached the point of absolute starvation, provisions finished. Safa to Marwa was not because there was something there. Safa to Marwa was an act of desperation to try whatever she had in her. But Allah loved this so much that even that point that she increased her speed when the child would not be visible, what we call Milain Akhtarain, marked with the green lights, even that point where she ran faster, Allah commanded every Nabi that you also run here. Rasulullah ﷺ was commanded, your mother ran, you also run. Allah loved this Qurbani so much that this amal was elevated right till Qiyamah. So that the ummah revisits the sabak behind this. Finally, she reaches Safa on the seventh circuit. It was seven, not because she ran out, there was no more strength. Then she sees some image. I'm cutting the incident short. Jibreel was sent. Zamzam is given. A few years pass. Next command of Allah. Next command of Allah. What is that command? This father, Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salam, according to historians, was plus minus 86. Ibrahim alayhi salam was plus minus 86 at the birth of this child. 6 or 7, 8 years, exact age is not mentioned. In Quran we find this expression, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعَيَا. When this child reached the age of Sa'i, where a little bit of understanding comes and a child starts running around, Mufassirin have placed this average age between 7 and 10 years. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's age is 92, 93, 94, thereabout. What command comes? Leave Palestine, go back to Makkah. Go back to your family. But now what is the command? That same child that you made dua for 60 years for, your own flesh and blood, it is the command of your Allah that take the knife and pass it over the neck of that child. How that journey must have been undertaken by this elderly father. When every step as he is going towards Makkah Mukarramah in that 12 or 13 day journey, he is visualizing the eventual outcome of this journey. He goes, reaches Hajar, tells her to prepare the child, takes Ismail alayhi salam to Mina. Shaitan, avowed enemy. Shaitan comes before Ismail alayhi salam, makes ishara, indication, with his finger over the neck. You are going to be slaughtered. Ismail al-Islam still doesn't understand what is going on. He says to his father, someone is making this sign. Ibrahim al-Islam flings 7 stones. Shaitan goes into the ground. Little later, 3 times this happened. Time is limited, I'm not going into the detail yet. Each of these tests, trials, tribulations have been kept alive till Qiyamah. have been kept alive in Ummah so that we understand the sabak and lesson behind it. Finally, that critical moment comes.
Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara.
Oh my beloved son, Allah has commanded me. Allah has commanded me, anni adbahuk, that I must slaughter you. Fanzur madha tara. Oh my son, what are your feelings? Fanzur madha tara. What are your feelings? Even this Quran brings alive. What is the reaction of this child?
Ya abatif'al ma tu'mar satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin.
Your life is going to end now. You are going to be slaughtered. What? This is the command of my Allah. What do you feel?
Ya abati.
This expression ya abati denotes joy, denotes anticipation, denotes excitement. Oh my beloved father, if'al, without waw, without thumma, do it now. If'al ma tu'mar, it is Allah's command, carry it now. Don't delay. Satajiduni inshallah minas sabirin. Inshallah, with Allah willing, I will be amongst those who will patiently persevere in the face of Allah's command. I am ready to lay my life down. Anticipation, excitement. Ibrahim alayhi salam is confused.
In the riwayat of Ibn Qudama, humbly it is mentioned that, oh my son, do you understand what I am saying?
Ajib, what is the response? He says, oh my father, this life will end. In place of dunya, Allah is going to give me jannat. Jannat is better than dunya. In place of you, Allah is, I'm going to get Allah. The companionship of my Allah is better than you. But this thought has occurred to me that what you are about to do is going to hurt my mother. So I have a little request. Take this kurta of mine off. Let this not become soiled with my blood so that every time she thinks of me, she will be able to remember me. And don't take me back to Makkah, bury me here. Bury me here so that she is not reminded of what had happened. And then he goes on, little child is giving advice to who? To Khalilullah. To that personality, Quran says, Kana ummatan qanita. Rehbar-e kamil, qaid-e kamil, a complete leader. A little child is giving him advice. What advice? He says, blindfold me. Tie my hands, tie my feet. Put my forehead on the ground so that you do not look into my eyes. Even this Quran reproduces, falamma aslama watallahu lil jabin. He was made to lie forehead down on the ground. The question we have to ask ourselves, my respected brothers, where did this tarbiyat come from? Where did this iman come from? Where did this jazba of qurbani come from? Where did this handing yourself over to Allah's command completely, such humility, such submission come from? He did not get this from his father. He was separated from his father. This tarbiyat came from the mother. Sabak. Lesson that the Rabia Basri's of tomorrow and the Junaid Baghdadi's of tomorrow, illa mashallah, will not come from the fathers. It will come from the lap of the mothers of the ummah. The first madrasa is the home. The greatest responsibility for tarbiyat is in the hands of the mother. Cry tears of blood. Very often I say this, when you see the young mothers of today driving around in that fancy car, dropping that 8 or 9 year old little baby off in a park to play, dressed in a frock. Look at that manzar and scene and ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. That who is going to teach that little baby tomorrow that you have to become the daughter of Aisha, or the daughter of Fatima, or the daughter of Khadija, when these are the mothers of today? Our elders are saying, the laps of the mothers of the ummah today have become barren. It does not mean no children. It means no jazba of iman. This is why our elders are crying, establish ta'lim in the home. Make effort on your masturat. You want your children to be a source of comfort when you are in the qabr. Effort has to be made in the home. The seeds of iman have to be planted. This iman was from the tarbiyat of his mother. Nevertheless, like I said, time is very limited. Ibrahim alayhi salam, aslama wa tallahu lil jabin, places Ismail alayhi salam face down. Hands are tied, feet are tied. Father of 94 plus minus years of age.
puts his knees on the back of his little baby, places the knife on the neck, and then he looks to the heavens and he says, "Oh my Allah, if this command of you, if this command of yours is that, is because sometimes the love of Ismail would supplant your love in my heart. Oh my Allah, today I am making you a witness that I am prepared to sacrifice 1,000 Ismails, but this heart belongs to you. And oh my Allah, if this command of yours is because you are testing me, I am not worthy of being tested, but oh my Allah, make me successful in this test." Saying this, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. And the knife is passed over the neck of his own flesh and blood. Sabak and lesson for the Ummah till Qiyamah, like the poet puts it beautifully, Ilayka Qasdi. Ilayka Qasdi. Rabb al-Hijri wal-Bayt. Rabb al-Bayti wal-Hijri. فَأَنْتَ سُؤَلِي مِنْ حَجِّي وَمِنْ عُمْرِي وَفِيكَ سَعِي وَتَطْوَافِي وَمُزْدَلِفِي وَالْهَدْيُ نَفْسِي الَّذِي يُغْنِي عَنِ الْجَزَرِي. Like the poet puts it, "Oh Allah, Makkah is not the goal, Mina and Arafah is not the goal, Safa and Marwa is not the goal. Ya Allah, you are the goal. Your love, your ta'alluq to enter my heart. Ya Allah, this is the sum total and purpose of my life. And the Qurbani animal also is not the Qurbani animal. Well, hadyu nafsi, the Qurbani animal is this nafs, this napak, filthy nafs that is driving me away from you. That is making me do haram upon haram. Today, Ya Allah, I make you a witness. I am taking this knife and I don't need a knife to sacrifice this nafs. But symbolically, I'm sacrificing this. This sabak through this amal is supposed to be learned. To revisit the dastan and legacy of Qurbani and sacrifice from the same progeny, from the same progeny. Allah brought the pride of humanity, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each year the ummah has to revisit these basic lessons so that change comes. The life before Hajj, the life after Hajj. The life before Zulhijjah, the life after Zulhijjah. My respected brothers, the door of Tawbah is open. Allah is waiting. Come back to Allah and see the way Allah opens the way for us. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhirna. Alhamdulillah.